Welcome to God and Country Radio, a program that discusses current events in the life of Scripture. I'm your Bible teacher, Pastor Brad Winship, pastor of Harbor Bible Church in Central New Jersey. Let me begin by quoting two verses from the Psalms, very similar verses. Psalm 118:9, it's better to take refuge in the Lord than to trust in princes. And Psalm 146:3, do not trust in princes, in mortal man in whom there is no salvation. Now, both of these verses are important doctrine of civil government verses. In fact, Psalm 146:3 I had printed on a magnetic card for my March verse of the month. I send these out with my correspondence. Psalm 146:3 is a praise psalm that reminds the worshipers to praise the Lord, not man, not even princes, which in the Hebrew refers to any leader, a prince, a king, a magistrate, or anyone who might be wealthy or talented or noble, the popular, the influential. And do not trust, or rather do not put your hopes in these people, because verse 4, his spirit departs. He returns to the earth. In that very day, his thoughts perish. How blessed is he whose help is the God of Jacob, whose hope is in the Lord his God. The point is that even the greatest man is powerless over death, which happens to be our greatest enemy. The atheistic philosopher Albert Camus wrote that death was philosophy's only problem. And of course, we all know that all of the great philosophers couldn't solve that problem. The point made in Psalm 146 is very similar to Psalm 39:5. Surely every man at his best is a mere breath, a puff of smoke. Surely every man walks about as a phantom, which in the Hebrew is what we would call today an empty suit, a shell. Surely they make an uproar for nothing. He amasses riches and does not know who will gather them. And now, Lord, for what do I wait? My hope is in you. Also, Psalm 62:8, trust in him at all times, O people. Pour out your heart before him. God is a refuge for us. Men of low degree are only vanity, and men of rank are a lie. In the balance they go up, they are altogether lighter than breath. Now, the Psalm 118 text, that it's better to take refuge in the Lord than to trust in princes, is in the psalm that's all about finding our refuge and safety in God. This is the famous psalm that the people sung at Jesus' triumphal entry. Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord. The point is to look to the Messiah sent from God for deliverance. Psalm 118:25, O Lord, do save. We beseech you. O Lord, we beseech you, do send prosperity. So we have all of these psalms to remind us not to put our trust in man. And these psalms exist because mankind's natural tendency is to look for deliverance in oneself or some great human figure. The atheistic philosopher Nietzsche popularized the concept of waiting for the Übermensch, the Superman, some great leader who could change the world for the better. And the globalists and the secularists have been looking for this man. And this is all the ungodly who deny that God exists are able to look for. A deliverance by man, particularly a great man. Someone with the popularity, the influence, the name recognition, who can bring the world together. Oh, by the way, Joseph Stalin's real name was Djugashvili. And in pride, he changed his name to Stalin, which means man of steel. It was a lie. And this fallen human desire for salvation by a Superman, by a man of steel, will likely be the appeal of the coming Antichrist. Revelation 13:8, All who dwell on the earth will worship him. Everyone whose name has not been written from the foundation of the world in the book of life of the Lamb who has been slain. Now, don't think of this in terms of religious church worship, but simply attributing to this world leader a worth that is not due him. And I hope you've noticed that unsaved people, the people of this world, always give undeserved, inappropriate adulation to people. They become sycophant followers of sports stars, movie stars, politicians. They run around trying to get these people's autographs. They gawk at them in public. And these are the ones who call these people stars in the first place. Even immature Christians who still carry the mindset of the world can fall into the trap of following personalities. Paul has to correct the immature Corinthian church because they developed personality cults. 1 Corinthians 1:12. That each one of you is saying, I'm of Paul, I'm of Apollos, I am of Cephas. So Paul writes in 1 Corinthians 1:13, Paul was not crucified for you, was he? Or were you baptized in the name of Paul? And 1 Corinthians 3:21, let no one glory in men. He who glories, let him glory in the Lord. Now, this does not mean we should not give honor to where honor is due. Romans 13:17. We often run into those who are so proud that they refuse to give respect or honor to any authority or to any person who might be better than they. So let's give honor, but then let's not go over to the other extreme of glorying in men and deifying men. The other day I was reading Alan Cole's commentary on Galatians, Galatians 3:1, where Paul writes, O foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you? Cole writes, after the Second World War, a group of German pastors who supported the Hitler regime were lamenting that they had been misled by demonic forces when a senior pastor at the meeting brought things from near hysteria to sober realization by saying, gentlemen, we have all been very foolish. Yes, there is demonic temptation, but sometimes we wrongly shift the blame onto demons. We ought to admit our own foolishness and sometimes look into human leadership for salvation. So let's just realize again how the world follows and worships these popular figures, and that is really antithetical to biblical Christian teaching and practice. Isaiah chapter 2, verse 22. Stop regarding man, whose breath of life is in his nostrils, for why should he be esteemed? In Jeremiah chapter 17, verse 5, thus saith the Lord, cursed is the man who trusts in mankind, and makes flesh his strength, and his heart turns away from the Lord, for he will be like a bush in the desert, and will not see when prosperity comes, but will live in a stony waste in the wilderness, a land of salt without inhabitants. So again, the Bible reminds us continually of this error of trusting man, particularly kings or presidents or politicians. I think of Isaiah chapter 30, where God condemns Israel for trusting Pharaoh in Egypt, which is a type of trusting worldly men and the world. Isaiah 30, verse 1, woe to the rebellious children, declares the Lord, who take refuge in the safety of Pharaoh and seek shelter in the shadow of Egypt. Therefore, the safety of Pharaoh will be your shame, and the shelter of the shadow of Egypt your humiliation. Everyone will be ashamed because of a people who cannot profit them, who are not for help or profit, but for shame and also for reproach. Lesson. When you put your trust in human leadership, you will be burned, because every man at his best is at best a man. And human leadership is actually ordained to teach that very point, not for help or profit, but for shame and also reproach. Look at Israel as your example. Every judge of Israel, every king of Israel even the best, failed. Gideon was a mighty deliverer. The Israelites wanted to make him king. Fortunately, he turned it down. But he made a mistake by telling the Israelites to all give him some of their gold. He made an artifact with it. It became an object of worship. And with this wealth, his 70 sons were corrupted. Samuel, he was a great leader, prophet over Israel, but he appointed his corrupt sons over Israel. David was a man after God's own heart, but he committed adultery, murder. He numbered the people in violation of God's command. Even Josiah, the most righteous king in the history of Israel, 2 Kings 23:25, before him there was no king like him who turned to the Lord with all of his heart, with all of his soul, and with all of his might, according to the law of Moses, nor did any like him arise after him. But yet even he failed. He trusted in his geopolitical maneuverings, and he went out to fight a battle in which he didn't belong, and he died. Now, the point in all of these Old Testament narratives is not to say, oh, well, at least their good outweighed their bad. No, the point is that no mortal man was able to be the savior of Israel. When they did what was right, they became types of Christ, but yet only the Messiah could save the people. David was not the hero. Christ is the hero. Only Christ can conquer the giants. And that was the biblical promise, that the Superman would be the God-man, Jesus Christ. Isaiah chapter 9, verse 7, there will be no end to the increase of his government or of his peace on the throne of David and over his kingdom to establish and uphold it with justice and righteousness. From then on and forevermore, the zeal of the Lord of hosts will accomplish this. So, Psalm 146:3, do not trust in princes, in mortal man, in whom is no salvation. This is such an important Christian truth in the biblical doctrines of civil government, how we ought to understand government, how we ought to respond to government, how we are to view it. Not trusting in princes is such an important point that I went back to read John Calvin's classic treatise on civil government, and Calvin didn't even mention this point once. He instead spent all of his words dealing with Christians not obeying and respecting evil government, which was a big problem in his day. But he overlooked this constant human ailment of idolizing politicians and governments. So I guess John Calvin is not the man after all. He wasn't really complete in his doctrines of civil government. But Martin Luther, in his treatise on the doctrine of civil government, did allude to this issue. This is from Martin Luther's treatise, Temporal Authority, To What Extent Should It Be Obeyed? Quote, God spoke through the mouth of an ass. Numbers 22:28. Therefore, no man is to be despised, however humble he may be. On the other hand, God also permitted the highest angel to fall from heaven. Therefore, no man is to be trusted, no matter how wise, holy, or great he may be. Quote, but even if you were an angel, I still would not trust you. Lucifer was not to be trusted, for we should trust God alone. Now you will say, if no one is to be trusted, how can land and people be governed? Answer, you are to take the risk of entrusting matters to others, but you are yourself to trust and rely upon God alone. You will certainly have to entrust duties to someone else and take a chance on him, but you must continue to watch with unceasing vigilance. So now let's make some application. I've done quite a few programs defending President Trump against the Never Trumpers, both on the right and the left. And the biblical emphasis that I've been trying to bring out is that we need to appreciate the leaders that God raises up. So rather than being a fault finder, rather than being elitist, we should realize that God uses imperfect people, even unsaved people, to accomplish his purposes and to protect his people. It's not wrong to appreciate the Cyruses and the Nebuchadnezzars and the Dariuses and the Artaxerxes of this world. God even used a messed up guy like Samson to take down the Philistines. And God used the wild man Jehu to eradicate Baal worship from northern Israel. It wasn't done by Elijah or the 7,000 true followers of Jehovah. God used Jehu to do the dirty work, to shed the blood of the Baal worshipers. But in making this emphasis, I hope we don't swing the pendulum too far over to the other error, idolizing President Trump. Like one of the veterans I interviewed at the Wildwood, New Jersey Trump rally who said, "I want Trump forever," which actually is an insane request. No man is to be entrusted with that kind of power. That's why we have term limits. Power corrupts and absolute power corrupts absolutely. I think a classic example of this kind of bootlicking worship of Trump was Ann Coulter's book entitled In Trump We Trust. Chapter 1, The Great Orange Hope. Chapter 2, The Reality Star We've Been Looking For. Now, of course, she's being humorous. She's certainly not trusting in Trump like we trust in God, but she still has an over-the-top view of Trump being the solution. She writes the following. Is it really any wonder that when a spaceship crashed to Earth and Donald Trump stepped out, he was given a warm welcome? Trump is the first hope Americans have had in a long time that it may not be over yet. Perhaps our country isn't finished. Maybe we can begin to reverse our losses. And then many years from now, when we have our country back, we will join the little girls in pink party dresses and be appalled by a presidential candidate who calls Rosie O'Donnell the fat pig and sends out juvenile tweets at midnight. But not yet. Not until Trump ends the orderly transition of America from the greatest nation in history into some pathetic third world multicultural mess. Until the bleeding has stopped, there is nothing Trump can do that won't be forgiven, except change his immigration policy. Even liberals know that Trump is their only impediment to the destruction of America. So, she wrote that book back in 2016. In 2018, Ann Coulter tweets, Trump screwed the voters, in that he went ahead and signed the $1.3 trillion spending bill without any money for the border wall. In an interview with Bill Maher, Maher asked Coulter, you voted for him, Donald Trump, and now you're finding out he's a lying con man. What was your first clue? Coulter responds, okay, I'm a very stupid girl, fine. So I think Coulter foreshadows many of those on the right who will be disappointed because they put Donald Trump on too high of a pedestal. President Trump will be used by God to be a roadblock against the left. He will probably win a second term. He'll probably keep the economy going. But let's remember, he will fall far short of saving our country. He is not the first hope Americans have had in a long time that it may not yet be over. America's days are still numbered, even with President Donald Trump. And not only will he be unable to turn America around in the long term, my guess is that he's likely going to do something that will disappoint the conservative Christian community. From my experience, that's just the way these things happen. Where God allows kings to fail just to remind his people to put their trust in him. To remind us that Jesus Christ is the deliverer. Remember that Old Testament character Jehu? The conservative patriot general who put an end to the administration of Ahab and Jezebel. And he put an end to Baal worship in northern Israel. I've often compared President Trump to Jehu. But in the biblical narrative, in the very end, Jehu disappointed the true Jehovah worshipers in northern Israel. 2 Kings chapter 10, verse 31. But Jehu was not careful to walk in the law of the Lord, the God of Israel, with all of his heart. He did not depart from the sins of Jeroboam, which he made Israel sin. In those days, the Lord began to cut off portions from Israel, and Hazael defeated them throughout the territory of Israel. Well, how can that be? Jehu eradicated Baal worship from Israel. He claimed to be zealous for God. How could northern Israel go into decline? Well, because the people and Jehu did not meet God's holy standards. They still maintained a watered-down, apostate version of Jehovah worship. I don't have time to develop this, but President Trump operates on the principles of a false gospel. The prosperity gospel of winning, of success, of wealth. You know, it all sounds very good, but it's just like the prosperity gospels preached in many megachurches. Trump has even said that his pastor was Norman Vincent Peale, that heretical pastor who put out the book, The Power of Positive Thinking. Trump's father used to take him to Peale's church in Manhattan, the Marble Collegian Church on 29th Street. And he epitomized this apostate American religion. Just the other day, I heard an excerpt from one of these prosperity gospel churches, the Bethel Church in California, where the pastor had the congregation repeat in unison the following words. Quote, as we receive today's offering, we are to believe the Lord for jobs and better jobs, raises and bonuses, benefits, sales and commissions, favorable settlements, estates and inheritances, interest and income, rebates and returns, checks in the mail, gifts and surprises, finding money, debts paid off, expenses decreased, blessing and increase. Thank you, Lord, for meeting all of my financial needs, that I might have more than enough to give to the kingdom of God and promote the gospel of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. That is a false gospel. As Paul wrote in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, that he commends himself as a servant of God in much suffering. Now, all this successful wealth thinking may appear to be necessary to make a country great, because a can-do attitude is necessary for a nation to succeed. America has always been depicted as a can-do nation, but it's actually the elements of the true gospel. Work, sacrifice, suffering, a cross, repentance from sin, that makes a nation great. Positive thinking, success, winning is not the answer. And that's why in the end, even though President Trump should be respected, he is God's ordained man for the hour, in the end, God's people will learn that a gospel-less success is no success at all. In closing, Marvin Olasky, in his recent book, Reforming Journalism, shares this goal for Christians. Quote, our goal should not be the creation of a new Israel or the winning of a total victory. For we know God has placed us in Babylon, and Christian triumph will come only when Christ returns. Our goal should be faithful perseverance in the containment of evil. We cannot destroy sin. Christ will take care of that when he comes again. But through God's grace, we can contain it and regain lost ground when possible. Well said. You've been listening to God and Country Radio, the radio website to listen to this program again or hundreds of other past programs is godandcountryradio.org. From there, you can email me questions, comments, insights. The YouTube channel for the extended version of this program is God and Country Biblical Exposition. Thank you for including God and Country as part of your discipleship in the Word. Let's close in prayer. Father in heaven, we do not trust in princes, in mortal men in whom there is no salvation, but we trust in God, come in human flesh, Jesus the Christ, in whom we have deliverance, in whose name we pray. Amen.